for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. This is the 2007 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, August the 31st, 2007. Ish Payne is the speaker of this service, teaching on The Two Kingdoms, Darkness or Light.
Could y'all say glory?
Glory.
Glory. Glory. Hey, I want to recommend this book too.
Amen.
Amen. This is a blessing. He is a blessed man. And I have a feeling if you were to purchase it, he'd probably sign it for you too if you'd ask him. Wouldn't you, brother? This is so important because this is about the glory of God. Beloved, He won't give His glory to another. He wants to reveal His glory, and He's going to reveal His glory through His church, which is His bride, which is His body, and that's who you and I are. Amen? And we are carrying the very glory of God. And He wants to reveal His glory to the world out there. There's all this whole generations of desolation that are longing to see the glory of God. And we have it.
Amen.
We've got it, and we got to give it away.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. I want to just share something that's a little off the wall. But we need to get in the flesh. Uh-oh, y'all. What kind of heresy is this guy giving? No. We must get in the flesh. Because He became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have got to take the glory that God has given to us, and we have got to let it rest in our flesh and let our flesh become alive with the glory. And when we go and we speak and we give life, then it's the glory of God, but it's only because we are residing in the flesh. And that doesn't mean we don't get in the Spirit, does it? But the world is longing, as Philip said, for us to be real, to get real. Is that right?
Yes.
That's all they want. They just want to see something that's real. Amen. Can you stand up and join hands with me? We're going to pray, but I want you to pray with me, but I don't want you to pray for yourself. I want you to pray for those that are around you, behind you, in front of you. I want you to right now just let go of yourself and be concerned about His kingdom coming in your neighbor. About His glory being shining in your neighbor. That whatever's going on in your neighbor's heart and in their spirit, soul, or body, that God, the Father of light, the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus will reign supreme this night in this camp. So Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we lift each other to You. Father, we ask You, Lord, to bless and touch and minister in Jesus' name. Lord, if it's deliverance we need, bring it. Father, if it's healing we need, bring it. Father, if it's sanctification we need, bring it. But Father, bring forth Your glory. Say that with me. Father, bring forth Your glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I think Carla, Patty has got some of these, or going to have some of these back there. Let's see here. How can I do this and make sense? I've written a book too, and when you finish reading about the glory, you might want to read about the red zone. Amen. See, there you go. And this, do you read it? Amen. You know what I find good? This book will go along with Restoring Old Tractors. You did? She restores old tractors. You see? And so sometimes restoring old tractors can put you in the red zone when the parts don't fit right. So you got to figure out. You don't have... You've got kids. Yeah. Y'all don't know what the red zone is, but we'll talk about it. Anyway, these charts are going to be back there with Miss Patty. And they're available for you for a buck. And if you can't afford a dollar, well, two will work too. So just, whatever. And but it is, in fact, let's, Philip, help me here. Let's pass out a few of these because I am going to look at this a little bit. I've got a couple of different kinds, and everybody doesn't have to have one. just give some out and kind of spread them around, maybe where they can kind of look at them. I didn't think to bring anything in terms of overhead. I was a little short-sighted in that. But I do want you to get an idea here. Cause, now, how many of you were here when I was here last time? So some of you have heard this. Okay, well, you're going to hear it different. Amen? And it won't hurt you to hear it again, because if you understand, and I always have to start with this because this is important to the way the Lord has led me to minister over the last number of years. And it's real important to kind of get a hold of it. But before we get even into that, I want you to understand something very primary in my opinion. And it's already been alluded to a couple of times. And that is that, beloved, this is about the kingdom. Come on. This is about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. Because, you see, the only difference between the two kingdoms that are going on in this world, one's the kingdom of God and the other's the kingdom of who? The darkness. Is that the only difference is who is in control. That's it. It's a matter of determination of who is in control. Is our Heavenly Father in control? Or is another kingdom in control? And you can really simple it down to that. You can look at your own life and you can put it into the simplest terms. Who is in control of this situation at this moment, at this time? And none of us walk in perfection in that. But we're all a work in progress. Would you agree? But it's about the kingdom. Now, when we think of a kingdom in America, it's a little bit difficult for us because if we came from England, like Matthew did, then we'd understand more about a kingdom because the kingdom has a king, right? We have a president and we're a democracy. But a kingdom is not a democracy and they don't have a president. They have a what? A king. And a king does what? Rules. Thank you. Amen. And so it's a matter of determining who is ruling. And who is the ruler? Jesus. Right? And He wants to rule by the power of His Spirit and by what He's done. So, every day in our life, the decisions we often make are based around who is ruling. Who's ruling my life? Who's ruling my life when I got on that plane today? Did I let fear, which is another kingdom, rule me? Or was I resting in my Father's arms? Hello? I should be resting. Amen. And then, yeah, I was going to tell you, because Glenn said, tell you where y'all came from. I came from Charlotte, North Carolina, on flight 2087 U.S. Air. By the way, I have 5 children. From my youngest one is, how old is she? She just turned 14. My oldest is 34. I have 6 grandchildren. So I know what it's like to live in a red zone, too. Amen. All right, so it's about the kingdom. So if we can anticipate that everything we do is about the kingdom, then it'll make things a lot better. Now, we said already that there's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness and there's the kingdom of light. And I want to live in the kingdom of light. And you see, what Philip was referring to with the world looking at the church, unfortunately, the church, now I'm not picking on the church, I happen to love the church, but what I'm saying here is that when the world looks at the church, they look at the church that talks about the kingdom of light, but they're living in the kingdom of darkness. So what they get is a whole different picture. They get this confusion, and they say, and I hear it frequently, I had a talk with a young man this week, he said, why should I go to church? Because you church people aren't any different from the people I drink in the bars with. And you know what? And sometimes it's hard to argue with. But I could tell him this, and I did tell him this. I told him, I said, but brother, if you'll look a little closer, you'll see the glory of God. Because it's there. It may be veiled and it may be shaded, but it's there. It's there. Now, what is this red zone that I always am talking about and that I wrote this book about? It's called Life in the Red Zone, which really, it's back there. Y'all see that? They've got them back there. And I would highly recommend it. Somebody said, is it a good book? And I said, well, of course it's a good book. Absolutely. You know, you want to miss God, don't read it. Amen? That was a joke. Come on now. I mean, y'all do have a sense of humor, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know it's first night and everything, so I want to read you a little thing, and I don't think I read you this before, but I want to tell you there's so much research to back up what we're doing that I don't look for it anymore. I very rarely print it off the computer or even cut it out of the newspaper, because I've got so many stacks of it. It's available everywhere. We were having supper tonight, and we were talking about these very issues. And I said the key here, though, is this. The scientific community knows what's happening. The medical community knows what's happening. The psychologists and the psychiatrists know what's happening. But, beloved, the church has the only answer. You are the church, and you have the answer, and you are responsible to give that answer. Amen? Now, these other folks have some answers, but we have the answer. There's a difference. There's a big difference. A psychologist can help you. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. A psychiatrist can help you. But they can't bring you to the answer, which is who? Jesus. He's the light. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Him. So we have the answer. You see, the doctor can't bring you to a place of agreeing with God. He's not trained to do that. I'll tell you, are y'all happy we have doctors? I am. You see, I tell you, there is a false thing in some Christian circles that we don't need doctors. Praise God we have doctors. Because many of us need to stay alive until we get the answers. I'm telling you. You know, and I'm not I had a major heart attack a couple years ago. I learned a lot through that. I had, can I tell you this story real quick? No, but I've been living in the red zone most of my life is the main reason I had the heart attack, right? And I know why I had it, at least part of the reason. There's a lot of issues, probably wouldn't have time to get into all of it. But there's certainly some issues there. But I had been working with my oldest son. He was doing some physical labor, and I'd been helping him. And I noticed that I felt like I was running in a cold wind. Running in a cold wind. I don't know how else to describe it. Well, that was nothing I'd ever read about a heart attack. Did that sound like a heart attack? And so, plus men don't like to ever think that something could possibly be wrong. So you just deny it. And anyway, and so finally, though, this went on for 2 or 3 days. And I was walking my dog, and my dog and I did fine. And I went for a walk, and I almost didn't get back because this cold wind kept bothering my chest. And my wife, this is a lot I'm leaving out, but I want you to just hit the high spots. And we get up about 4:30, Dr. Null. And she woke up, and she said, "Well, how you feeling?" I said, "Well, I'm feeling pretty good. I still got a little discomfort." And she said, "I really think you ought to go to the doctor." I said, "No, I hadn't been to the doctor in 15 years. There's no sense in going now." You know, I mean, really, that was what I... And so she went downstairs to get our coffee because, you know, that's part of our morning routine. By the way, do you realize, some of you may disagree with this, but coffee is very scriptural and spiritual. Hebrews. It'll get better in a couple of days. I'm sorry. Anyway, she came back upstairs and she looked at me and she said, "Take a shower and get dressed. I'm taking you to the doctor." I said, "Honey, I don't want to go to the doctor." I said, "Number one, we don't have insurance. And just to walk in is going to cost me money. But it won't cost me any money if I don't go." She said, "You are going to the doctor." I'm telling you. And so I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I took a shower and I got dressed and I'm feeling better and I'm thinking this is kind of stupid. We're going to the doctor. And one of my grandchildren was coming over, and we made arrangements quickly, and we got out and gone before the Charlotte traffic. Those of you who've been in Charlotte, not quite as bad as Atlanta or Miami maybe, but it's getting there. And we start up the road, and as we start up the road, this cold wind is getting worse and worse. And I'm really becoming uncomfortable. And I used to be a policeman, so I told my wife, we were going to go to the dock in the box. You know what a dock in the box is? That's a minor emergency center. The thing is, though, if you go there and there's really something wrong, they're going to have to send you to the emergency room, so you end up paying two bills. I don't have insurance, so why pay two bills? Just pay one. So I said, don't go to the dock in the box. Let's go straight to the emergency room. And having been a policeman, I said, now listen, I understand something about emergency rooms because I spent a lot of time in there as a cop. I said, go in and tell them you need a wheelchair. I said, because I knew that if I went in a wheelchair, I'd get quicker service. If that's a fact. And if I walked in, I might be there a while. Well, as the closer we got to the hospital, the worse this discomfort got. And by this time, I was really thinking, you know, there could be something more than indigestion. And this has been going on for 3 days. And my wife, I hope you all get to meet her sometime soon, she reached over as we were getting within a couple blocks, and she put her hand on my shoulder. Now, she's driving, and I'm sitting over there. And she said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command peace into my husband. I command peace into this car. I command the peace of Jesus to invade our lives. And it did. And that peace lasted for 2 months. We got in there and they took me right in. They weren't even busy. And Dr. Rattery, it's funny, I can remember his name. And they came in there and they started taking my blood pressure, and it was back here. I couldn't see it. And he said, take it again. They took it again. He said, take it again. I couldn't see it. Third time, take it again. Take it manually. And they're hooking me up to all this stuff. You know, these wires, some of you have had that. And finally, he looked at the blood pressure, and obviously it was high. And I said, well, how high is it, Doc? And he said, it's 280 over 190. I said, is that high? I mean, listen, this experience, the minute she prayed for me, became surreal. I knew it was high. So when they got me hooked up to all those electrodes and stuff, the EKG, I guess that is what that is. Boy, they can tell quick what's going on then. The minute they hooked that up, he stuck his head outside the door and he said these words, and his whole demeanor changed. He said, I want two more nurses in here now! And two more nurses came, and I mean, they started sticking me and doing all this. And he came back here in a minute. Now, this is interesting. This was from a doctor, and I don't know anything about him. I just remember his name. I wrote him a letter, and also the rest of the staff, by the way. If you ever go to the doctor, that doesn't hurt to do that, because you are grateful for him. And he looked at me, and he's standing there, this Dr. Rattery, and we're buddies now, right? And he looked at me, and he put his finger like this, and he said, Ish, you're having a serious heart attack, but you're going to be all right. He prophesied over me, beloved. I mean, doctors don't usually do that. He prophesied over me, and I'm telling you, hope built in me. And he said, we're sending you downtown to Dr. Iwoka, and he's a key cardiologist, and he's going to jump in there in your heart and see what's going on. So they sent me down. I'm leaving out a bunch of stuff. We got an ambulance. Two, three sweet people in there and the whole thing, and they got me all hooked up, and they got me wired for where they're going to shock me. And well, yeah, if they need to. And that's what I asked. I said, you don't need all that stuff. And they were being very coy with me. They said, well, we like to do that as a precaution. Later, they told my wife, said, what your husband was experiencing was what we call the widowmaker. Said, if you'd have been 3 minutes later getting here, he would have been dead. He would have died in your van. Why did you not call an ambulance? That's how close he was to death. So we get down there and they put me on the table, and you know, those of you who've ever had a heart cath, and it's no worse than getting your teeth clean. It's a little more expensive. And so, you know, Dr. Iwoka and I, we're becoming buddies too, and And of course, they don't put you to sleep. And I could kind of see out of the corner of my eye. I could see he was up there in my heart with this thing. It's really an intriguing thing to watch. And suddenly, as he's up in there, I don't know how long the time was, and I don't know what drugs they were giving me, but I was feeling a lot better. And I don't mean like, you know, like high. I might have been high. I don't know. But I mean, but I was, you know what I'm saying. It was, the pain was definitely diminishing. And he turned to one of the other aides and said, "Will you go find Mrs. Payne and tell her we have stopped the heart attack? We have stopped the heart attack." And I said to him, he's an Oriental gentleman, I said, "Dr. Iwoka, I said, would you recommend I cancel my lunch appointment today?" He said, "Yeah, Aisha, I think you better." So they took me out of there and I had to wait for a minute, and this lady comes over and I don't even remember, but this is the point I'm trying to make. Beloved, always look for the glory. Always look for the glory. It is always there. And this lady, she was one of the RNs. She came over and she started talking to me. And I looked at her and God dropped a word in my heart. And I said, "What's going on with your kids?" And she started telling me about her kids. And I said, "Let's pray for them right now." And so I just looked at her and I prophesied over her about her children. And she's standing there weeping over me on the gurney. And they took me up into the ICU and they got me all hooked up in there. And this beautiful black gal came in about 2 o'clock that afternoon, tall. Her name was Sandra Jones. We became friends. And she says to me, "Mr. Payne," she had my chart there. She said, "It doesn't show how you're going to pay this bill." Now, I'd already had a heart attack. 3 hours before that, I'm having this heart attack, and now they're looking for their money. And you know what? My blood pressure, we could talk about this a lot, it started going back up again. But because now I could see it. They were taking it every 6 minutes. You know. And anyway, and she was very kind, and she said to me, she said, can you share with me how you plan to pay this bill?" I looked at her, and I said, "Honey, I don't have a clue. But my father will pay it." Amen. She said, "Who's your father?" I said, "My father is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has promised to keep me under His wings. And He died for me, and He rose again from the dead." And she said, "He's my father too." And we started talking, and come to find out, she was in this mega church there, and she was a theological student. And guess what she's studying? Healing. And she's got 2 kids, and she's working a full-time job, and she's going to school, and she is stressed to the max. And I said, "Can I pray for you?" She said, "Would you?" And I said, "Come here." And now I got this weeping money collector in my room. And she looked at me and she prophesied. She said, "You let me worry about this bill. You take care of yourself." And $90,000 later, it was paid. In full. No insurance. The glory of God. Amen. Now, I'm leaving out a bunch of stories. I had to go back later because I had to have another heart cath, and I had to go back in, and I went up to the business manager of this big cardiologist group. And by the way, I still owe them. The hospital bill was totally paid. I still owe them some money. And they wanted all this money, you know, and they wanted a lot of money. I said, "Well, there's no way I can do that." I said, and they said, "Well, how much can you pay per month? Can you pay $600 a month?" I said, "Well, yeah, I probably can, but I can't feed my children." You know? And she said, "Well, what can you pay?" And it wasn't a bartering game, but finally, I said, "Well," I felt the number 200. I said, "$200. She said, "Fine. Pay us $200 a month." I didn't have $200 a month. The next day, I get a letter and a check in the mail from a church where I've been a couple times, Steve Durder's church. And the note says, "We want to send you $200 a month at least for the next year. God laid it on our heart." God is good. Amen?
Amen.
That's the glory of God, beloved.
Amen.
God is a Father that loves you. And every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Amen? We got to understand that. See, most people are in so much fear because of all these issues. There's 47 million Americans without insurance. If you've got it, don't cancel it. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying don't live in fear about it. God will provide for you. Because you see, the Scripture is very clear. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Anyway, I went back to see that lady later, and she's got this beautiful corner office overlooking downtown Charlotte. And I'm sitting there, and there was a picture of a fellow in a uniform behind her, and I said, ma'am, who is that? She said, that's my son. He's in the Air Force in Iraq. And the Lord dropped a prophecy on me, and I turned around to me. She turned around to me, and I started prophesying to her. And immediately, here I am in this lady's beautiful palatial office, and she suddenly got her hands in the air, and she's weeping because the glory of God was there to touch her. Beloved, it's about His glory. It's about His glory. God wants His glory to be revealed. I'm coming through TSA today, or whatever they call that. And I love the Charlotte Airport. I go eat there when I go in the morning because there's these three black women that are the honchos in this restaurant, Carolina Barbecue. And I didn't have to be introduced to them to know. I saw them one day. I watched them, how they dealt with people, and I said, those gals know Jesus. Because I could see the glory of God emanating from their very life. The way they spoke to people, the way they encouraged people, the way they were gracious and caring. So I walked up to them this morning. I've talked to them a couple of times, but it's never long. And I said to them, hey, girl, anybody here love Jesus this morning? They went, yeah, amen. The glory of God, beloved. I'm coming through security, and this little girl there, and I could tell, I spotted her coming. She's calling everybody honey, sweetheart. Just got this Jesus smile. I handed her my driver's license and my boarding pass. She said, thank you, honey. I said, no, thank you. I said, can I take your hand? She said, excuse me. And I said, can I take your hand? She handed me her hand. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, we just bless her.
Thank you.
She said, ooh, yeah. It's easy. It's easy. You know why it's easy? Because He who lives in us is greater than he who's in the world. If we'll just yield to Him and give ourselves to Him and seek first His kingdom. Because what is the kingdom? It's His rule over our life. It's the King ruling our life. Now, what is this red zone? You all got? Everybody got one of those little things? Those are available back there. What do we sat on? $20, $10, $1. Also have small pocket size available, which seriously I'd recommend. Just quickly, let's look at this, because you'll notice there, if you're looking at that little chart, there's three major places. There's at the bottom, it's called homeostasis. Everybody see that? This is also in the book, but it's not in color in the book, so this makes it a lot nicer. Homeostasis means nothing more than peace. It's a medical term. It just means peace. And that's the way God designed to live us. Excuse me. That's the way God designed us to live. Excuse me, I'll get it straight. Now, even though that's where we're supposed to live, we don't always live there. How many of you live in total peace all the time? And if you say you do, I want you to be sure you're here in the morning for deliverance. Amen? As my wife says, liar, liar, pants on fire, you know. I had a woman say to me one time, we were talking about bitterness, and she raised her hand, and she was very serious. She said, I don't know what you're talking about, Ish. I've never had any bitterness. Now, she wasn't being facetious. And when I realized she wasn't being, I said, are you saying that you've never had any bitterness? She said, no. And I said, well, will you answer some questions? She said, sure. I said, are you married? You have children? You have a job? You go to church? Do you go to Walmart? Do you get out on the road? You know, she just didn't define it as such. Anyway, but we're designed to live in peace. And the other end of that spectrum is fight or flight. Now, how many of you remember my cop story I told last time? Should I tell it again? Okay, because I don't want to. Because it is. It's a years ago in another lifetime. It almost seems like I was 39 this year, and last year, and the year before that, I was 39 when I met you, Philip, and next year too. Right. Anyway, a long time ago in Chattanooga, I was a policeman, and a friend of mine by the name of Dick Roberts. He and I had been in the Marine Corps together. We'd served in the 2nd Marine Division together. He was also a cop, and he got in a call one night, stopped this drunk, and I was called to back him up. And so I got there, and how many of you know what a Bubba truck is? You know what a Bubba truck is? Yeah, you drove a Bubba truck from Oklahoma to Georgia pulling a Bubba trailer. That's another story I'll let him tell. Anyway, that was the favor and mercy of God. Anyway, he had this beautiful truck. And, you know, the truck with the big tires, I mean, they're expensive trucks. They're not, you know, they're really cool trucks. Anyway, and this guy is so big. I mean, he is just a big mountain of a man. And Dickie's my size, you know, and, you know, we're not exactly, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers line. But anyway, so we had made this plan. He was going to go around on the shotgun side of the truck and try to open the door to get his keys out. And I'm going to conversation with him there at the driver's door, you know, and so I'm talking to him and just cutting up with him. And he is really drunk. I mean, he's really drunk. And so finally, I got to use this step here. I want y'all be able to see me, but I'm standing there. Now, he's like here, okay? He's sitting here driving, and I'm down here talking. And we're on a very curvy little road, 35-mile-an-hour speed limit. And suddenly, now this is fight or flight we're talking about, suddenly out of the corner of my eye, my vision, I saw a flash, and I instinctively stood up on the running board of that truck, grabbed hold up under here, and pulled myself as close to the truck as I could. And when I did, a white Camaro or a Grand Am or something came behind me, took off the left rear quarter panel of his Bubba truck, went behind me, I could feel the heat and the wind, took the door off and the left front fender, and was gone. And he's sitting there. He says, "What was that?" I was just as calm. I said, "Fella, that was your door." He said, "Where's it going?" He was really drunk. I said, "I don't know." Interestingly enough, not that it has anything to do with the story, but we never found out who was driving that white car. So I got called to something else, and more people came, and I thought I was just fine. We're talking about fight or flight. And I went to get back in my car, and I turned off the car, which you're never supposed to do. It's always supposed to run. And so I had to try to get it started. And so when I went to put my foot on the gas and do everything, nothing would work. That's fight or flight. That is in very extreme, intense things that happen in your body. Now, why did they happen? Because God designed my body to respond to that danger. You ever been, you know, about to cross the street? And a big truck comes by with an air horn, and they're running the red light, and he honks that, and all of a sudden your heart's doing this number, and you're sweating. That's fight or flight. Now, let me ask you this. This is a very important question. How many of you had to go to school and study fight or flight 101 to have that happen in your body? Anybody? No. Why does it happen? It's instinctive. It's part of the way God designed you to respond to danger. Now, after a while, your body will settle back down and everything will be cool. Now, here's the danger zone, what I call the red zone. You see that part there in the middle? I need one myself. It's called resistance stage. You see that? That's where I want to share with you we get sick. I got some little ones too. These are really great. A super little evangelistic tool, and I'm not joking about that. And I tell you some stories about that maybe later. But it's in that resistance stage where things happen to us. Here was an article. I was going to read it. I'm going to read it quickly. This is in the Charlotte Observer, and it said about 80 of the counties, this is in Mecklenburg County where I live, of 520 female doctors gathered at Myers Park Country Club to hear Dr. Tracy Gaudette, executive director of Duke University's Center for Integrative Medicine. She says, and I was surprised when I read this, 520 female doctors in our county. I had no idea. So we have a lot of risk factors as women physicians, she said. We're really good at self-sacrifice, or we wouldn't be good at what we do. She could have been talking to almost any of us. We get busier and busier, take on more and more, children, full-time jobs, cell phones, and pagers. By the way, cell phones and pagers are right from the pit of hell. But we've accepted them now, and so we're stuck. We tell ourselves we're fine. We can do it all. Now, how many of you can relate to this? I'm sure a lot of you. Then one day, now this is a physician, she's not a pastor, she's not, I don't know what her spiritual condition is, I have no idea. Then one day, she says, our bodies are whispering to us all the time. But we are not always listening. Dr. Terry Doan, an Atlanta surgeon, said these words to me. The body only does what it is told. The scientific evidence of that is called psychoneuroimmunology. It took me 4 years to learn how to pronounce that. Still not sure I got it exactly right. But all that says is that the stuff that happens between here and here is what controls what happens in your body. So you see, it's always coming back to this thing of the kingdom. We can't escape the kingdom because it's who's ruling here is who's going to rule here. Are you with me? Now, there's lots of side issues and all kinds of things, so you have to be careful here. But it's a known fact, scientifically and medically, it's indisputable, undeniable, that what's going on with our brain and our thought patterns control much of what happens in our body. Would you agree with that? Now, let me try to demonstrate this for you all in another way of how this thing is very subtle. I'm trying to remember who it was that volunteered for this. I know Matthew did. Come on, Matthew. I know you volunteered. Thank you very much. Was it Sarah? Where's Sarah from Baltimore? Where are you? Yeah, she volunteered too. Didn't you? You did. Sure you did. Okay. Come on up here. I want y'all to stand up here. Don't trip over on that. Get right here where the light's good. Okay. Now don't do anything with those. Now, are y'all okay? You okay? Good. You okay? Okay. They didn't really volunteer, but aren't they good? Give them a hand. Now I want to try to demonstrate something to you here that's very important. You understand homeostasis? You understand fight or flight? But I want you to understand resistance because, beloved, this is where many of us get sick. Now, before I do this little demonstration, and they're sitting there wondering what's going on, I want to tell you that it's really simple. When you are in the red zone, some simple things happen that are very complex. And most basically, you can boil it down to this, and this is, again, well known. You get too much adrenaline, too much cortisol surging through your blood. And listen, this is very important, very, very, very important. You cannot control it. You can't say, don't do it. It does it because your body was designed this way. Now, when you get too much adrenaline and you get too much cortisol coursing through your blood, your B cells and your T cells are being destroyed. Not just like that. It can happen like that. But it's over a process of time. Now, your B cells and your T cells are what make up your what? Immune system. So as you're living in this resistance stage, or what I tagged the red zone, actually my wife did, your B cells and your T cells are being destroyed. And that's breaking down your immune system. And now everything from anything that's coming by the pike in your direction has more access to your life. Does that make sense? Okay, now let me show you how insidious this is. Okay, now what we have here is 2 fourth graders. And you're going to understand why I picked them here in a minute. It's very important. I picked them for a reason. Anybody want to guess why? He's a pastor. Actually, I picked him because he was available. And I picked Sarah because she was available and I met her today. So that makes her fair game, right? All right, now, let's go on. Now, they're fourth graders, and they just finished their first 6 weeks of school, and they took their first spelling test. Now, we're making all this up as we go along, but their mother and father are both absolutely perfect parents. They come from perfect families. And you all know there's no such thing, right? But anyway, for the sake of this, what we're doing, they came from perfect families, and they had a lot of help in studying for this spelling test. And now they're going to get up after the test, and everybody's going to expose their grade. You know, now I know those of you who are education say, "Well, they never do that," but they do that because they post them on the web now. All right, now so here's what happens. So we're going to now. Let's see now. You hold yours. Let's see. Let's let her go first. Okay, just turn the blue thing over. We want just right here like this. We didn't get a lot of chance to prepare for this. Let's see what her grade is. Okay, pull it on over. Yeah! Woo! She got an A+. Say, go Sarah! Yeah, okay, now keep that up there. All right, now, let's see how Matthew did. Ta-da-ta-da. Well, he passed. All right, now. All right, hold it down there just like this. Now, I want you all to help me here. Remember, we're talking about something. We're talking about T cells. We're talking about B cells. We're talking about immune system. We're talking about resistance stage. We're talking about our life. And we're talking about how we get there. And they're in the fourth grade. Now, you tell me what just happened here. Come on. This is body ministry. I need to hear it from you. Come on. And there's no wrong answer. There you go. One of them's self-image went up. And one of them went down. Now, why would that be? What happened to the one that went up? They got praise. They got affirmation. And what happened when Matthew got his C? Nothing. What else happened? Yeah, his adrenaline started flowing because he wasn't there. Rejection. What? Self-esteem, fear. Now, what? Yeah, he got grounded. If it had been me growing up, he'd have gotten whooped. Perfect parents, that's right, they grounded. Now, let's take it a step further. Now, why did I pick these two? Come on, let's see how clever you all are. Remember, we live in a real world, and we deal with real issues and real people. Now, why would I pick this couple here? They're real. Come on, anybody? They're real. They're very real. I picked Matthew because he was the young guy and he was white. And the other girl's an African American. Now, why would I do that? Now, why did I have her make the A and he make the C? What difference would it have made? Now, well, when I was in school, I heard it all the time. Girls were smarter than boys. How many of you? Did you ever hear that, Clement? You heard it? Yes, she says it's true. Well, she's a teacher. Well, there's probably some truth. They certainly were in my class. Now, but let me ask you this question. Just think with me a minute. Because we're talking about the red zone. Could this situation, I don't care whether she's black, Asian, Indian, Caucasian, it really doesn't make any difference. But what's the main thing I brought her up here for? Because she's a woman. Come on, get with me, church. And he's a man. Could this be, and I'm just submitting this to you, could this be the beginning at fourth grade of a man's contempt for woman? Because he sees her as smarter, and she got the accolades, and he didn't. It's just a thought. But let me tell you, he's now in the red zone, and he's in the fourth grade, and his B cells and his T cells are slowly being destroyed. If he doesn't learn who he is in Christ, and who he is in the kingdom of God, and who the glory of God is living in him, he could end up in trouble.
You
Are you with me, church? Well, let's give them a hand. Amen. Yeah, they agree. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Is it now? You say, well, that's, you know, I had an educator, Jane. You'll get a kick out of this. It was a school. What do you call it? Administrator of a very large Christian school, and he did it for 28 years. And he gave me this figure after 28 years. Now, I'd say it's pretty scientific if he had all those many years. He said that 90% of first graders, when they go to school, 90% of them feel really good about themselves. By the time they're in the fourth grade, 80% don't feel so good about themselves. Now, I don't know if you can say that scientific or not. That was his 28 years of observation. But I can tell you this, I know this for a fact. Kids, before they go to school, are often very creative. Then when they're in school a few years, they lose their creativity because they're not taught to be creative. Now, I'm not here to try to redo or undo the educational system. Okay? Well, I agree with you. Because, well, I could. I've still got kids in it, and I've got a son that teaches in it. And that's a whole other story. But I tell you what we can do. We can teach our children about the glory of God. We can teach our children who they are in Christ. We can teach them that they're kings and priests and that they're going to rule with a rod of iron. Amen? That it doesn't matter whether they made a C or an A. What does matter is that they tried hard, they did the best they could, and to feel fine about themselves, not because they're puffed up, but because they are part of God's creation and He loves them very much. Amen? You see, we got this whole thing about self-esteem confused. It has nothing to do with self. It has to do with Him. If He lives in me, I'm fine, thank you. What's not to love? What's not to love? Amen? You see, I mean, I had some issues when I was a kid. I was never very big, and it always had some detrimental issues on me, too, because it made me really cranky. And I can remember that all I ever wanted to be as a child was my goal in life was to be 6'2 and weigh 195. Seriously, that's what I wanted. And I did everything to get there. It's a good thing they didn't have steroids when I was a kid, or I'd have looked like the Hulk. And I was a good athlete. And you know what? All I wanted to do was be 6'2 and weigh 195. And I'll tell you, God's got a sense of humor. When I was at Parris Island in the Marine Corps, I went out for the football team, and I was faster and more agile than most of the guys there. And I almost made the team. And the guy that got my position, guess how big he was? Exactly. But I want to tell you something. God does have a sense of humor. I did get to 195. But I'm still stretching 5'8". Okay, now I'm back down. Okay, are y'all with me? I tell you, God's a good God, is He? I said, maybe I ought to look at my notes. I hadn't looked at those yet. That's maybe a good thing. Maybe we don't need those. Tell them to come on. We're just getting cranked up. Good. I want to read you something because this is important. Is this cool or what? This is an email I got from a pastor. God is great. Amen to that.
Amen.
Best I can tell, I have been healed of sciatica.
Amen.
Yay, God.
Yes.
Pastor Doug's wife was healed of scoliosis. Jan was healed of asthma, migraines, and endometriosis. Now, I want to tell you something, beloved. This didn't take months and years of counseling. It took the glory of God and the impartation of the Holy Spirit coming against a spirit of infirmity and letting people line up with the Spirit of God and who they are. Because you see, when you line up your life with His life, things happen because you're no longer living in the red zone. You're no longer living in resistance. You're now living in the flow, the sweet, sweet flow of His mercy and of His grace. And out of your belly is flowing rivers of living water. And you just can't help it. Things change. And good things happen. Amen? Is that okay with y'all? I love that, don't you? Now, I'm not opposed to counseling either. Don't misunderstand me. I've been in counseling all my life, I think. You know, it seems like, I tell you what we all need is all of us need accountability partners and people that we can share our heart with honestly without fear. They're not easy to find. Another girl was healed from a spirit of self-accusation and lifelong severe insomnia. Lifelong severe insomnia. And that's said she has slept all the way through the night since the meetings for the first time in her life. First time in her life. Amen. We could go on. This is another one. Said, praise the Lord, my mom had a CAT scan yesterday and we got the results today. All the fluid around her heart and lungs is gone. All her organs are clean. No cancer. The cancer on the bone, barely visible. They will have to do a bone scan to know how much it has shrunk. May not even be there. God is so good. Mom wanted also for me to tell you that she's learning about praise and worship. This, I love this part. This is as good as the healing of cancer. When I left her tonight in the kitchen with her hands toward heaven, praising the Lord. I'm telling you, saints, listen, many people don't receive what they want from God because they don't recognize God as the King. And so they're living in this whole thing of self-determination. We're going to determine who we're going to do, what we're going to do, and who we're going to do it with. And we're, you know, it's self, you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Self-determination. And that's contrary to the Spirit of the living God. You see, all we really need to do is line up with what God says. You know what the definition of repentance is? Repentance is nothing more than lining up with what God said. For instance, if God says forgive, what would be lining up with God? Forgive. Is that pretty easy?
Yeah.
It's not always easy to do. I had a friend, let me tell you this story just quick. Pastor. How many pastors in here? Okay, a few. It really doesn't matter that you are not, but most of the time when we think of pastors, we think of, we have this false thing that because they're a pastor, they've overcome everything. Well, let me tell you, I are one. And I ain't overcome everything. And I'm just flesh and blood like you are. And that's why we're in this thing together. Amen? Anyway, I was just having lunch with this pastor. This is why I love this little... Where'd my little things go? This little thing here. I carry one in my wallet all the time. And he was talking about his serious illness. And this was not a ministry session. It was not something we scheduled. We were just acquaintances. You know, kind of a deal like that. We were in a ministerial association together. And he said, what do you know about that sort of stuff? Because I know you're involved in that. And so I pulled out my little card. And I said, let me explain something to you real quick. And I laid it on him. And I said, you know, here's homeostasis. Here's fight or flight. And I said, what we find is that people living in this resistance stage have this going on with their B and T cells and their immune system. And he said, well, what would cause that? And I said, well, the thing that we'd always look for first is bitterness. And he said, well, how do you find bitterness? And I said, you listen to what the other person is saying. Because I teach this when I'm teaching on how to minister. We teach people this. You minister by listening. Now, I'm talking now, but if I have a chance to talk to you, I will hear things. Right? My wife hears me sometimes way too much. And what I mean by that is she, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And she'll tell me, honey, this is going on, or you know what, you know, you got an issue there. Anyway, so we're talking, and he said, well, I don't think I have any bitterness. And I said, well, just do a quick check. And again, and I'm sure Philip's going to talk about this some, you don't want to get so introspective. That's not what this is about. But anyway, he said, no, my wife and I do fine, my kids, you know, and everything. He said, I did have a problem with the church where he was because, you know, he did come out of a bad situation. But he said, really, he said, I've worked through that, and I've forgiven everybody. And I said, well, the only thing I, you know, just keep, you know, just trust God and keep praising God. Pray without ceasing. All things give thanks, so forth. And then he suddenly said to me, he said, would it matter if I hated my brother-in-law? I said, well, that might make a little difference. Now, this was this pastor. I said, you hate your brother-in-law. He said, yeah. He started telling me why. Well, I started hating him too. I'm telling you, he was the number one jerk, right? But hey, guess what? We live with number one jerks. But Jesus said what?
Forgive.
Period. End of question mark. It's over. Let it drop. Now, you got to work through it sometimes. I'm not saying it's always easy. By the way, the terminal illness that he had was healed. Not because I had anything to do with him. I never had another conversation. But I found out later he dealt with that and other issues as well. I was at a CBA convention. You all know what that is, Christian Booksellers. And we were there. And it's if you ever get a chance to go to one, it's really a lot of fun. It's 12, 14 acres under one roof. And 10 to 15,000 people. And everybody that's anybody and more people that are nobody are there, you know. And it's anything that a Christian bookstore, it's where you could go once a year and find anything you might want for you. It's like a big market. That's what it'd be like, a big market. And when we went, my kids came home with, I mean, literally we had a stack of CDs of all kinds of music. Some of it I didn't like and some of it I did, and books. And I mean, we had, I don't know how many, I can't even tell you how many books we came home with. And anyway, there was this lady there, and I'm not free to give her name because she never gave me permission to use her name, and I don't like to use somebody's name. But if I had her permission, you would probably recognize it. She's an author and a dear woman, and she happened to stop by, and we were just chit-chatting, just lollygagging and talking. And my wife and I were there, and my oldest son, who's 34 now, and this was a couple of years ago. And she says to me these words. She said, do you know anything about fibromyalgia? And I said, well, you know, I know kind of what it is, and I know a little bit about it. And she said, well, if you had to say, what would you say causes it? And I said, well, I said, I think, you know, if I was just looking, I said, I'd be looking possibly, most, about 90% of fibromyalgia affects women. Only 10% affects men. Sometimes I think it's misdiagnosed because it's very difficult to diagnose. And I said, I would be looking at issues with maybe, you know, your husband or your dad. Somebody says, and I said, would that ring any bells? And we're just having a casual conversation. By the way, I think that's where a lot of effective ministry takes place. It's just in the, you know, different places. Doesn't have to be organized. She said, no, my husband and I are doing great and never have had any, you know, normal stuff, but we're doing fine. We're very supportive of each other. And she told me about a situation where one of her nieces had been tragically killed in a water accident. And that can certainly, if you look at cancers, for instance, a lot of times you'll find that within months of the onset of cancer, there will have been a traumatic event very frequently. You find that true?
Yes.
This lady's been healed of cancer on the front row, by the way.
Yay.
Yay, God, amen. Now, again, that's not always the case, but oftentimes, I can't put a percentage, but oftentimes it is. Anyway, so she said, no, I can't think of anything else. And I said, you know, your dad, you sure about it? Yeah, he's, but he, you know, and something she said made me realize she was talking about her father in past tense terms. And so I said, well, wait a minute. You said he was very supportive and everything, and but is he dead? Did he pass away or what? She said, yeah. She said, 2 years ago. Now, she'd already told me, I forgot this part, that she'd had this fibromyalgia for about 2 years. She said, 2 years ago, he blew his brains out. There it was. And the Lord dropped a word of knowledge right into my heart. And I looked at her and I said, honey, have you forgiven and released your dad for taking his own life? I remember we're in this large hall and this well-known author broke. And if my son had been standing there, she'd have been in a crumble on the floor. He caught her. As the Spirit of God's finger landed right on her, and she saw the issue. So we put her in 4 years of therapy. No, wrong. God had spoken. You see, let me tell you something. When God reveals, God heals. And so we simply led her in a very simple, with the tears ruined her makeup, and a little prayer just to release her dad, who she loved dearly, and he loved her, but the enemy took him out. To release her dad from that issue. Didn't see her the next day, and 2 days later she came up to me. She was so excited. She said, 2 days, pain-free. Now it gets better because the next year we were back in another town, but the same convention. Now I want to tell you something. This gal is really flashy, very attractive. Wish I could tell you who she was, but I'm not. And she comes running. No, it doesn't matter. She comes running up the aisle and grabbed me like that. Man, I felt pretty. Yeah. She says, 1 year, pain free. 30-second prayer, beloved, in God's healing. You see, she didn't know it, but she had been put in the red zone because of a traumatic event in her life. And by the way, I don't know what the schedule will be, but if I get another chance, unless the Lord goes somewhere else, depending on where these gals go and where Philip goes, we're just nobody. I mean, you know, I'd really like to minister to you all around traumas. Because they're a powerful part of our life. But anyway, she found that healing. Let me read you this, and we're about done. Are y'all okay? Because we got to get that bedtime. If you've bought this book yet, how many of you got this book yet? Okay. Anyway. Okay. This is an interesting thing. I want to read you this. This is a pastor's wife. This is again about fibromyalgia. Dear family and friends, I want to share what the Lord has done for me. Her name was Carla. She said, I've had fibromyalgia for almost 5 years. As you know, the Lord spared my life in a horrible car accident in 2000. I had been suffering chronic pain ever since. I've gone through physical therapy, surgery to remove 2 herniated discs in my neck, physical therapy again. Now, this is because of the wreck. 2 pain specialists, many prayer lines, and thousands of dollars of medication. I'm on page 133. You there? I continue to deal with severe headaches, painful tight muscle spasms in my neck, shoulders, and back, severe joint pain, body stiffness, depression, sleeplessness, back aches, extreme exhaustion, and many more inconveniences. That's not a blessing, is it? Through a process of identifying sin, I saw that I had been holding on to a lot of anger, resentment, unforgiveness, self-hatred, and bitterness. All of those are red zone issues, right? From the accident. Now, that accident was not her fault. But the way she responded, now she's taking responsibility for it. An ugly court battle over the medical bills from the accident, as well as childhood and the death of my father. There it is again. The principles and repentance and forgiveness have set me free. During praise, I realized that I was pain-free as I could raise my arms to worship the Lord without the pain. I was in awe. I kept looking over to my left shoulder to see, as if waiting to see if the pain was really gone or if it was going to show up at any second. I have been pain-free from fibromyalgia ever since. The healing is even more impressive due to the fact that I took hydrocodone 3 to 5 times daily to lessen the pain. I can't even pronounce a couple of these. Cyclobenzaprine, a muscle relaxer, 3 to 4 times a day. Trazodone, a sleep medication that only sometimes works. And I can't count the number of nights I spent up all night. I also took ibuprofen, 800 milligrams, every 4 hours. Is that a blessing or a curse? It's a curse. I have been drug-free ever since the seminar. Is God good or what? Amen. God is good. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, God is here tonight to heal fibromyalgia and heart issues. Will you all stand with me? And I need the ministry team that's here to come here with me. Philip, and come on, ladies, let's. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless your name. Father, we bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're here because you've told us to be here, and we're here to see your glory. Sarah, can you come here again? I hate to keep calling you up here, but I got a word for you. Yep. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless you. Thank you, Lord. Sarah, I think the Lord would say unto you, the river that you've been flowing in has not yet been full. And He wants to take you from a height, it's not an airplane flight, but He wants to take you from height where you are to a height where you've never been. And He wants you to see as eagles see, and He wants to give you eagle's wings. And He is covering you even now with His feathers. And He wants to pour out and impart to you a deeper life, a stronger life. And I hear the Lord saying this to you. There have been some dreams in your life. And there have been some desires in your life that you've shut them down. You've put them aside. You said, that's not going to happen. But God is saying, stir it up. Stir it up. Come here, will you, sisters? I want you to put your hand right here on her stomach. Put your hand right here on her stomach. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we stir up the gifts that you have given to this sister. Father, we stir up the dreams and the ambitions and the life goals that you put in her heart as a little girl, and she has put them aside. In Jesus' name, Father, bring her forth in Jesus' name, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father.
And we come against the lie.
Yes, Lord.
Everybody else can have it, but she can't. That's a lie.
Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are you dealing with anything physical? I'm not looking for anything. I don't.
No.
Okay, good.
Physical, spiritual.
Amen. Well, that's why you were up here. Amen. Amen. Now, is there? I'm sorry. Amen. Did you hear that? That goes for all of us too. Amen. You can't be His child and be a failure. Amen. I want to tell you something. If Jesus lives in you, you better love yourself. Come on. If Jesus lives in you, you better love yourself. That's not haughty arrogance. That's just scriptural good sense. That's a commandment. Yeah, thank you, Francis. Amen. Now, if there's anybody in here who has fibromyalgia or heart problems, if you'll come up here, we want to pray for you. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.